Today on Life Talk.
Abraham's faith, rather than growing weaker, it grew stronger. You know why? Because God is stretching his faith, working his faith out, like somebody doing military presses with their faith in the gym of God's obedience.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you. LifeTalkRadio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hey, everyone. You know, as I began to grow as a Christian in my early years, I began to realize how important what I believed about God really was. In fact, what we believe about God will determine what we believe God for. If I believe God is a provider, I'm going to believe Him to provide. If I believe God is a healer, I'm going to believe Him to heal. And if I believe that He is a God who answers prayer, I'm going to be in the prayer closet a whole lot more. Have you ever stopped to think what exactly you believe about God? His character, His promises, His power, His love? In today's message, we're going to look at a very important part of who God is, and that is His faithfulness. The God of the Bible is a faithful God. I believe today's word is going to bless and help you to lay hold of the promises of God with fresh faith. So let's dive right into today's message, He is Faithful.
I want to talk to you today about the faithfulness of God. You know, He is faithful. Can we say together, He is faithful? He is faithful. That means He's full of faith. And He's faithful in that He's loyal. And He keeps His word. So we're going to read out of Romans 4, one of the most remarkable passages of Scripture that I think is in the New Testament. And so there it is, in Romans 4, verse 18. And this is jumping in and talking about Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. No, I just backslid there for a minute. Song we used to sing. Some of you are looking at me like, are you okay today? I'm really okay today. But Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he, Abraham, did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Here we're looking at the way faith behaves. Faith didn't look at the problem. Faith looked at the promise. Faith didn't look in the mirror and say, I'm dead. Faith looked at God and said, He can. So I want to talk to you about the faithfulness of God today, especially homing in on the father of our faith. And then at the close, I'm going to talk about his wife, Sarah, and her faith. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for the faithfulness of God. What can we say, Lord? We're here today, all of us, because of the faithfulness of God. And Lord, we're being sustained by your faithfulness, and we'll be carried to the end by the faithfulness of God. And so, Lord, I pray that your faithfulness will become more real to us than ever before. And those that are clinging to hope, who are struggling, who are in a battle, that marriage looks dead. That job looks dead. That dream looks dead. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to learn from Abraham to not focus on what looks dead, but to focus on the living promise of the faithful God. Help us, Lord, today. Now, would you breathe a prayer to him, church, and say, Lord, today I receive your word as the word of God. Speak to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he is faithful. Go on, tell somebody he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Now, let me give you a little bit of Abrahamic history, because Abraham is the father of the faith that we stand in. That is, Abraham is our father in that he was declared righteous because of faith. By his faith, he was declared righteous. So he became the template for all the rest of us because we have not been declared righteous by our own good works, right? But we have been declared righteous by faith. Faith in the promise of God that if we look to his son and believe on his son, we will be saved, forgiven, delivered from hell, delivered into heaven, delivered out of darkness into light, delivered out of death into life through Jesus Christ. So when Abraham believed God, and I'll talk about that more in a minute, I'll show you the context, but when he did, he became the father, the pattern of our faith. Now, when Abraham was 75 years old and Sarah 65, he married a woman 10 years younger, God promised them a son. And he also promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. This is called the Abrahamic covenant. He covenanted with Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And he also promised to take him to a land that when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and then later left Haran, he didn't even know where he was going. He had no idea what the land looked like. He stepped out in faith. He just did what God told him to do. He started walking. He didn't know where he was going to wind up. He refused to build a house. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and as did Jacob. And it was their testimony that this world was not their home, so they were not going to build a home, a house, in a place that was not their home. They stayed in tents. And they just began to travel. And they traveled towards the promised land. It was the promised land that Abraham was promised. And he was also promised that his own descendants would occupy and populate that land. So the whole covenant that God made with Abraham, catch this now, necessitated his having a son. No son, no fulfillment. How do you have descendants if you don't have any children? How's anybody from your seed going to occupy a land if you don't have a child? So key and pivotal and the focus of God's covenant with him is you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. That was God's promise. So Abraham set out for the promised land. When he was 75 years old, he was full of faith, full of zeal, full of anticipation, full of excitement about the future. But then his weeks turned into months, and months turned into years, and years stretched into decades. Abraham and Sarah began to get very frustrated. They're thinking things like this. Where's God? I mean, hey, God, are you looking at us? We're getting old. Have you noticed how old we're getting, God? They became frustrated. They were tested by what tests us almost more than anything else, and that is time. Time tests you. Let me tell you what time tests. Time tests the promises of God. What you believe God is going to do, time will test it because his timing is never our timing. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. When we think he should do it, have you ever done this towards God? Hey, have you noticed? I've been single a long time. I've wanted that raise for a long time. Hey, God, are you looking at the watch like I am? Time tests you because God's timing almost always requires us to wait. There's always a waiting between the promise and the provision. There is a lag time, and it's when that seed is in the ground, that seed is planted in the ground, you can't see it, there's no fruit, there's no green stalk kind of poking up out of the ground, where you have evidence of life, that where you have some visible confirmation that God is moving. It's all under the ground where you can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't touch it, taste it, smell it, hold it, grasp it, obtain it, experience it. It's under the ground. And it's when that seed is under the ground that our faith is tested by time. Time. Now, for Abraham and Sarah, time was everything because the promise came when he's already 75 and she's already 65. Okay, when the promise came, they were probably expecting to conceive within a month. I mean, let's get on with it, God. But nothing. I want you to think of, you got to put yourself in their sandals. All right? 10 years, 15 years. They're thinking of this promise, descendants, occupying a land. Many nations are going to come from me. Really? Well, how about the first one in that nation? Nothing. 20 years. 21, 22. And believe me, they had their fainting spells. Because, for instance, in desperation, Sarah told Abraham one day, I want you to be intimate with my handmaid, Hagar, and let's help God out here by conceiving through Hagar. And we'll just let that child be the fulfillment of the promise of God. But the problem was they weren't moving in faith. They were moving in the flesh. They were operating in unbelief and doubt and fear and worry. They felt like they had to help God out. Listen, with any promise that God gives you and me, the last thing he needs is for us to help him out. Because then we will take credit for it. And God shares his glory with no one. When God does something, all you can do is look up and say, he did it. Hallelujah, glory to God. This is from him. So they looked to the flesh. Abraham got with Hagar. And Ishmael was born. Our world is troubled today because of their act of unbelief. And when Ishmael was born, Abraham took Ishmael in his hands, and look what he did. He looked up and he said, please, God, let Ishmael be the son you promised. Another version puts it, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, oh, that Ishmael might suffice. Oh, that Ishmael might do. Because we're tired of waiting, Lord. We got to get on with the program here. He could have heard God say, but it's my program, and I'll do it my way. I don't need your help. And so God spoke to him something that he didn't want to hear, but he said, no, Sarah, your wife will have a son, and you will name him Isaac, and that's the only way I'm going to do it, Abraham. It's going to happen not by might, not by power, not by the strength of the flesh, but it's going to happen by faith and by the moving of my spirit.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program, but first I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Our text tells us that two huge impossibilities challenged Abraham's faith as they grew older. Both he and Sarah's bodies had grown reproductively dead. So much time had passed that the Bible tells us they were well past childbearing years. Yet, I'm going to tell you something wonderful happened in this lag time, and this shows you why God causes us to wait sometimes. Because Abraham's faith, rather than growing weaker, it grew stronger. I said, rather than growing weaker with time, it grew stronger. You know why? Because God is stretching his faith, working his faith, working his faith out, like somebody doing military presses with their faith in the gym of God's obedience. And his faith got stronger. In the natural, each and every day that passed diminished the possibility of them having a child, of the thing coming to pass. It finally reached a place where, if this is going to happen, it's going to be an absolute, outright, undeniable, irrefutable miracle of God. Because we are reproductively dead. The Bible says, Abraham, though his faith did not get weaker, it got stronger. It says he did not consider, this is so powerful, he did not consider his own body already dead. Now there's the Bible saying his body was reproductively dead, or the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was reproductively dead. The word the Bible uses for the reproductive deadness of their bodies is the Greek word meaning corpse-like or lifeless. Regarding reproduction, their bodies were corpse-like or lifeless. In other words, in the natural, it was totally hopeless. Can I say it again? In the natural, it was totally hopeless. And yet Abraham did not consider that. Look how faith is operating in his life. Look how faith behaved. Look how faith carried him. Paul chose the word that he chose for dead, nekrao, nekros, dead, so that we would understand the gravity or the reality of what they faced. But he did not consider his own body the deadness of it. He didn't dwell on the impossibility of having a child in his old age. He didn't focus on the problem. He focused not on the problem, but on the promise maker. He focused on the promise, not the problem. And folks, isn't it how so often we look at the problem, stare at the problem, fixate on the problem, dwell on the problem, meditate on the problem, fellowship with the problem? It's dead, it's dead. It's everywhere I look, it's dead, it's dead. That thing is dead. That thing is dead. There's no hope for this marriage. There's no hope for this temptation I'm facing. There's no hope. There's just no hope. I don't see any hope. It's dead. This thing is dead. My dream is dead. I had that dream that I thought God was going to do this, that, or the other 20 years, 30 years ago. But Abraham had a dream 25 years old, and yet he didn't focus on the deadness of the possibility of it coming to pass. He focused on the promise. Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking. See, looking. What you're looking at so decides whether or not we have victory. Amen? So time did not weaken his faith. Circumstances did not diminish his faith. Rather than his faith weakening, it says Abraham became fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Everybody say fully convinced. In the face of a dead impossibility, he became convinced God was able to do it. Wow. Now, most people get discouraged, frustrated, and walk away and say, well, you know what? I thought I had a vision or a dream from God. I thought that he gave me something, but clearly it's not going to happen. Not Abraham. Between the promise and the provision, his faith got stronger to the place where he didn't even think about the problem. He just said, he is able. 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 My God is able. He is able. And it was at this juncture in Abraham's life, when he was saying he is able and I'm not focusing on the problem, that God declared him righteous. The Bible says, Romans 4:22, and therefore, since he believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham's confession, he is able, he is able. I don't care what I see, I know he's able. I don't care what it looks like, I know he's able. I know that God's power can make this happen and will make this happen. I'm convinced of it, and that's where my faith stands. But then we come to Sarah. And Sarah, we find that her faith was not locked into so much God's ability to do it, but his faithfulness to bring it to pass. See, I see a difference in the two. The way their faith locked into two different things. Abraham said, he's able. Sarah said, he's willing. Abraham was focused on God's power. Sarah was focused on God's faithfulness. Abraham believed God could. Sarah believed God would, based on his faithfulness. Let me read it to you. By faith, Sarah herself, this is so powerful, also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age. Why? How'd she do it? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh my. Do you know what that's telling us? Listen, let me read it again. Receive strength. She received strength to conceive seed. That means she experienced a miracle in her body because she was well past, biologically well past, being able to conceive a child, but because she judged God faithful who had made the promise, she said, I don't care what I see, he's faithful. I don't care what it looks like, he's faithful. I don't care how desperate we may feel, he's faithful. I don't care if I reach 150, he's still faithful. That child is going to come because he is faithful. Not because I'm able, because I'm not, but because he is faithful, we're going to experience this child. He's faithful. Now, I want you to say with me, she judged God faithful. Now, that word judge means that she looked at the situation and she sized things up and she came to a conclusion in her mind. The conclusion in her mind was, my leading thought, my conviction, my confession is going to be that God is faithful. I judge him. I conclude in my thinking process that my God is faithful. Now, you got to know, they didn't have any Bible. Abraham had no Bible. Sarah had no Bible. Moses hadn't come yet. Moses wrote the first five books. They had no Bible, no script, no word of God to look at. It was their walk with God and what God had revealed of himself to them. And God had revealed to them that he was faithful. Amen. Can you say again, God is faithful? Because she believed that, she experienced a miracle in her body. It was a miracle healing. It was a miracle readjustment. God gave her back her youth and her body. Faithful simply means trustworthy, reliable, someone that can be counted on without fear of disappointment. And Sarah decided this was true about God. He's trustworthy, he's reliable, and he can be counted on without me being disappointed. I conclude that that's who God is. Amen. I wonder how many of us here today have decided the same thing. Because all of us are looking at something that looks kind of dead or partly dead or difficult or is at least a challenge. And have we said to ourselves what Sarah said? Have we looked at it and then come to a conclusion? Well, you know what? You know, I do see this and I see that, and what I'm looking at in the natural is not real encouraging, but I judge my God to be faithful. I judge God faithful. He's faithful. Judging God to be faithful, folks, is pivotal to receiving his promises. It matters what you believe about God. It matters what you believe about God. Everything hinges on what you and I believe about God. Do we believe he provides? Do we believe that he heals? Do we believe that he saves? Do we believe that he's merciful? Do we believe that he forgives? Do we believe that he strengthens us in the hour? Listen, do we believe? What do we believe about God? Well, Sarah said, I know he's faithful. I can count on him. Have you done that? Have you done that with a situation in your life? Have you faced it concluding, my God is faithful? The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe two things about him, that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But if I don't believe he's faithful, how can I expect him to reward me? If I don't believe he's faithful, then I'm not going to expect anything from him. Lord, I can't imagine putting my faith in an unfaithful God. You're not going to live one day with that kind of faith. You've got to conclude God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now let me quickly give you three areas where God is faithful that we can hang our hat on it. The first one is, he is faithful to keep you in him to the end. Second area, God is faithful. He's faithful to deliver you in the hour of temptation. Come on, everybody. God is faithful. How do you know that? He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. In the hour of temptation, God is faithful to provide a way out. God is faithful to point us to a door that has exit above it. And the last area I want to mention is he's faithful, oh listen, to forgive you. It is a reality. He is faithful. He is faithful. He can be counted on, relied on without fear of disappointment, to wash your sin completely and totally away, to remove it as far from you as east is from the west, so that you can walk free of condemnation. You can walk with your head held high, not because of yourself, but because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God, because he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Amen. Say it again with me. He's faithful.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111 or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.